So today I want to continue, I want to expand a little bit on this, on the glory of God. And really, the glory of God is, really, if you want to get down to it, it's God's presence manifested, or it's his manifested presence. That's a good way of saying it. So all of us are here. We wouldn't be here if we didn't want to be here. But we're here desiring and believing for him to do what? Speak to us, to reveal his word to us. Or you could say we desire that he manifest himself to us. Hallelujah. Now, we shouldn't be seeking to see it. He may, if he so choose, to reveal himself to you in that way. But God's presence is manifested when we what? When we seek him. One of the things you don't have to turn there, but 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9, it says, For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. I like what the New Living, it says, whose hearts are fully committed to him. So we have to be committed to the Lord, and he will manifest himself in our lives. Now, before, I'm going to have you turn to John 14, verse 21, but before we do that, I want to look at something which will help kind of set this up a little bit here today. Let's go over to Numbers chapter 13. And you know the story where the 10 spies went into the promised land. But let's go over and just look at this a little bit, talking about the glory of God. And this will help us a little bit. And I want to start looking at verse 32. And of course, we could read the whole story here, but for the sake of time. And it says, they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched. What's an evil report? Doubt and unbelief. It says, but they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in their own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now, look what Joshua and Caleb said to the people, and of course you can go down and continue reading this, but look in verse, starting in chapter 14, verse 8. It said, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. This is interesting here. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. In other words, you could say they had picked up stones, the whole bunch of them, and were going to stone them. And look what happened. I guess that didn't please the Lord. Because what happened? And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they do what? Believe me. For all the signs which I have showed among them. So now here, if you continue, Moses begins to intercede for the children of Israel. And look at verse 19. He says, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they will not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. So we can see here that the glory of God was manifested. And you could say here that the presence of God was manifested. It was more for judgment, because they were trying to come against who? Moses. And it didn't please the Lord. But Moses turned and interceded for the people. And then, of course, you can go on and read the story where he said, you know, prior to that, he said, Lord, if you wipe them out, there's going to be a tale of you wiping the people out that you said you'd bring in. And so he interceded and asked to pardon them, you see, and he did. But what was different about Caleb and Joshua? They believed God. They believed God. And it seemed impossible, but they believed him. And so one of the things that we can see here is that for those that believe him, the glory of God will manifest. And that's where, if we can, let's turn over to John and 14. You know, God tells us to draw nigh unto him, to seek him first. These are his desires that we do that. John 14, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified because I just like the way it reads, starting in verse 15. It says, if you really love me, you will obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and stand by, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. I will come back to you. Just a little while now, and the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that time, when that day comes, you will know for yourselves that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Verse 21. And this is what I like. I like reading this from the Amplified. It says, the person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of people want God to make himself real to them, but they've got to do what? Believe him. They've got to love him. What did he say? If you keep my commandments, what does John 13 say? 13:34, it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And this is the piece I'm beginning to see a little clearer, some things that were spoken in prophecy over this ministry. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. When we operate in love, you could also say we're operating in unity. Unity with one another. Because in order to do that, you got to walk in love. You've got to. Galatians says, faith, our faith works by love. And that's one of the things that, as I said, I'm seeing a little clearer, because God spoke and said that this church, spoken by Brother Copeland in 1985 at the dedication service, he said, this church is going to get a revelation into the unity of God, the unity of the Spirit. He said, that is us. Well, let me just read it, because I don't want to misquote it. I'm just paraphrasing here. But it's important that as we teach on these things and we see clear into the Word of God, the Scriptures will help us. It says here, I'm just reading this, pulling out a sentence or two here from this prophecy. It says, and you're going to get a revelation in this church of the unity of the body of Christ that very few walked in. And you're going to carry it and you're going to walk in it, and people are going to call you all kinds of funny things. Another thing he said is, I'm going to shine all over this nation from this place. And he said, for my love is the light that'll draw people. So he's saying that the unity of the body of Christ is what's going to cause and draw people to him. He's going to see, what do we say in John? He said, by this, by what? By this love, he said, all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. So it's not just us here collectively in this setting or this assembly walking in love with one another, but it's walking in love with other people of like precious faith, other ministries, so forth. Walking in love with them and hooking up with them so that God can do what? Work through us to fulfill his plans and stop the strategies of the devil. It's not going to just be one church. It's going to be collectively the body of Christ, because God's presence, his fullness, yes, he's in us individually, but collectively the body of Christ is the fullness of his glory in the body. So the more we hook up together, the greater he can shine, the greater impact we can have in an area and in this world. Hallelujah. So it's important that, and as he said here, those that really love him will keep my commandments. What is that? Walking in love. Let's go to John 11, chapter 11 and verse 40. I'm just reviewing very quickly here, because I want to get to something this morning. John 11 and verse 40. And this is the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. But verse 40, he says, "And Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" So our believing is important where the manifestation of the glory of God is concerned. And as we shared, they didn't see a pillar of fire or a cloud or a pillar of a cloud. They didn't see that. But what did they see? They saw a manifestation of the glory of God in what? The raising of the dead. He said, if you would believe, you should see the glory of God. So as we were sharing last week, every time you see a body healed or delivered or somebody delivered from drugs or somebody delivered from something, somebody receiving Christ as their Savior, somebody being filled with the Holy Ghost, somebody prospering, somebody even like here, like Donovan, prospering, you're seeing a manifestation of the glory of God. When God gives you wisdom, where did that come from? Came from the Spirit of God, who is the glory of God. And so that, even that, when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, what is that? It's a manifestation of the glory of God, is it not? And how does that come about? It comes about where he's appreciated, where he's revered, right? Where people come and they seek him and love him. Hallelujah. Now, let's go over to Exodus. I want to look at this account here. Exodus chapter 40. These stories are put in here for our example, to help us. Exodus chapter 40, and starting in verse 16, and I'm just going to look briefly from 16 through 35, but it said, "Thus did Moses according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he." What did he say? He says, Moses did what? All that he was commanded of who? Of the Lord. "And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. And Moses reared up the tabernacle, fastened his sockets, and so forth." And verse 19, it says, "And he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle, put the covering of the tent above it, as the Lord had commanded him." And verse 21, "And he brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up the veil of the covering, and the covered and covered the ark of the testimony," what? "As the Lord had commanded him." And verse 23. Pages are sticking here, sorry. Man, this is stuck here. 23. "And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he lighted," verse 25, "and he lighted the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses." Verse 27, "And he burnt sweet incense thereon, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set up the hanging, and he set up the hanging at the door of the tabernacle, and he put the altar of burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and offered upon it the burnt offering and the meat offering, as the Lord commanded Moses. And verse 32, when they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded. And then verse 33, and he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then what happened? Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. But what was key? He did everything as the Lord commanded him. And when he did that, and the work was finished, the glory of the Lord manifested. And then it goes... page moved. And then it goes on, and it says, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's take a look at another interesting account, 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles, I'll give you time to get there. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Talking about the glory of God. I'm going to read first verses 1 and just a few verses here. It says, thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold and all of the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God. And then it goes on, it says, Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chiefs of the fathers of the children of Israel unto Jerusalem, to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. See, when we talk about the Ark of the Covenant, we could say what? It represented the presence of God, the glory of God, right? And then verse 5, and they brought up the Ark and the tabernacle of the congregation and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. These did the priests and the Levites bring up. And verse 7, and the priest brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord unto his place, to the oracle of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. And then verse 9, and they drew out the staves of the Ark, that the ends of the staves were seen from the Ark before the oracle, but they were not seen without. And there it is unto this day. And 10, there was nothing in the ark, save or except the two tables which Moses put therein at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And verse 11, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun with his sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Glory to God. And verse 13, and it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one. They were in agreement. They were in unity. To make what? One sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. See, he was being blessed and appreciated here. And when they had lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. See, now, look at verse 13. It says that the glory of the Lord, the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of God, the house of the Lord. Well, see, that was the house that he was, they built at his direction, the house or the temple of God, so that he could be housed in among them. But this place that we assemble, this is not the house of God. This is not the house of the Lord. Who is the house of the Lord? We are. This glory is in earthen vessels. We are the temple of God. Collectively, the body of Christ is the temple of God, the house of God. Now, yes, you have a place you dedicate it to him. Yes, as this place has been dedicated to him. But this place that we assemble in is not the temple of God. We are. We are the temple of God. And we, what does it say? It says we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, who should what? Show forth the praises of him. So we are. And here they had those that were set aside for that purpose, the priesthood. Thank God for Jesus. Now let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's look at verse 16. You know, it's good to know who you are in Christ. We need to remind ourselves who we are. Verse 16, 1 Corinthians. It says, know ye not that ye... Now, who is Paul writing to here? He's writing to the church. Ye... would mean not just you. It does mean you, but ye means y'all. That means the body of Christ. Ye are what? The temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. So this place that we assemble is not the temple of God. Ye are the temple of God. And what? The Spirit of God dwelleth in you. The glory of God dwelleth in you. Hallelujah. You don't have to turn here, but I'll read this. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. It says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation or with visible signs, you could say. Neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is in you. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I just referenced it, but let's look at it so we all look at it together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Yeah. Actually, let's look up in verse 6. It says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. But we have," say we have, "this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Glory to God. This word treasure, if you look it up, it just means a deposit. That's what it means in the Greek. It means to be deposited. So we have this deposit in our earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power, this word power is dunamis. It's the might and ability of God, that the excellency of that would be of God and not of us. But his glory resides in us. Hallelujah. We are the temple of God. Glory to God. Now let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 2. And now this really what I wanted to kind of hit at this morning here a little bit for a few minutes. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 19. And I want to read it from the Amplified, because sometimes when we read it in the King James, just, I like the Amplified in this. So I'm reading it, starting Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 in the Amplified. It says, "Therefore, you are no longer outsiders, exiles, migrants, and aliens, excluded from the rights of citizens." Glory to God. "But you now share citizenship with the saints, God's own people, consecrated and set apart for himself. And you belong to God's own household. You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself, the chief cornerstone." Now, this is what I wanted to hit at here, verse 21. "In him," or in the King James, it says, "in whom, the whole structure," talking about the body of Christ here, "the whole structure is joined, bound, welded together harmoniously, unity, and it continues to rise, grow, increase into a holy temple in the Lord, a sanctuary dedicated, consecrated, and sacred to the presence of the Lord." Ooh. Glory to God. "In him and in fellowship with one another, you yourselves are being built up into this structure with the rest to form a fixed abode, dwelling place of God in and by and through the Spirit." Boy, I tell you, that captures right there what the Holy Ghost spoke and said, we are going to get a revelation in the unity of the body of Christ. It's this unity that as we come together, This is what this scripture is saying. We are being built up together into a holy temple in the Lord. What is it taking, though? It says here it's going to be fellowship in Him and in fellowship with one another. You yourselves are being built up into this structure. It's going to take the unity of the body of Christ coming together, that we're built together into this structure where the glory of God, this is what this is saying here, to form a fixed abode or dwelling place of God by His Spirit. So it's going to take operating in the love of God. That's what He said. He said, if you will obey my commandments, I will manifest myself and make myself real to you. But you've got to operate in the love of God. You've got to walk in the love of God. And as we collectively hook and join together, not just here, but with others, stop bickering with people. Stop fussing with people. Love with the love of God. Because God, I can see now more clearly. Let me just jump over here a second. In chapter, I got a new Bible because I don't have it underlined like my other one. I knew right where to go. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm looking, I'm going, okay, where's that note? Anyways, but the glory of God is directly affected by our unity in the body of Christ. It is directly affected by it. And you can see what is the scripture talk about that God has placed in the body, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for what? The perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry that He's called, that we would be working together. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the glory of God, the manifestation of God, yes, we'll see things manifested in meetings. But as the body of Christ comes together, it's going to cause an explosion of the glory of God, not just a little here and a little here, but an explosion to affect and impact society. This is what we're, you know, people are going, what's going on? All this craziness going on. I'll tell you what will change society is an awakening to God. And an awakening to God is different than a revival. A revival will revive the church. An awakening impacts not only the church, but society and sinners. And so when you read about the great awakenings that happened in the 1800s, it literally changed society. And that's what we need. And it is going to take. As we come together, we're going to have to believe God. If you, what does it say? If you will believe me, you will see the glory of God. So we've got to believe God for His glory, but we've also got to do what? Walk in the love of God. That's what's going to impact this. Just another scripture, a couple of other scriptures here. We know in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, the eyes of our understanding being lightened, we'll know that what is the hope of His calling. What is what? The riches of His glory, of His what? Inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to who? To those who believe. You can't just say, whatever, I don't believe that. He said the exceeding greatness of His power to those who what? Believe. So believing is key. That's why I appreciate getting these principles down in our spirits. When I hear Donovan share that, I'm believing God for wisdom. Yes, exactly. This is where it starts. You believe God for things that you need. I can do all things through Christ who does what? Strengthens me. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to me who believes? I believe. Do I understand it? No. We're not the ones that have to try to make it. He's the doer. He's the one that brings it to pass. We're the what? The believer. We're the ones that have to believe him. Hallelujah. One last scripture. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 and 18. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, freedom. And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very own image, an ever-increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we are being changed from glory to glory as we behold in the Word of God his goodness, his greatness. Hallelujah. As we feast upon the Word of God, we are literally being changed from glory to glory to glory. That's why I always like every once in a while I'll read that account from the Shining Ones in Rwanda. There's a great story about how they operated the Word of God and walked in forgiveness, and they began to shine. Their skin began to shine. The glory of God was operating in them and working in them and began to shine through them. And I believe that as the body of Christ does what? Just like it says where Moses, he did as the Lord commanded him to do. And as we do as the Lord has commanded us, he said, those that love me will keep my commandments. And as we do as the Lord commands, his glory will be manifested in our midst. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm convinced of it. Are you? And I'm looking for it and expecting it in a greater measure. That's something we just put on there and say, look, I want more. I want more of his presence manifested through me, working in me. We can believe for that. I believe God that he's working greater and stronger in me. He may have you make some adjustments. You're going, glory to God, I want more glory. And he'll say, do this or change this or don't do this, right? So you want it, but then there's going to have to be some adjustments sometimes. Glory to God. I'm excited about it. And I believe God's reminding us and getting us to look and believe him for his glory. Because what does it say? By this love, by this glory that operates in us, all men will see that we are what? His disciples. They'll begin to see. You know how it is. What is it about you? Something about you is different. Yeah, it's his presence that we carry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for your glory that resides in these earthen vessels. Thank you, Father. And we purpose to walk in the love of God and to keep your commandments. And we thank you, Father, that as you open doors for us to connect with other ministries, to connect with others, that we will hook up and join together and kick the devil out of this country and out of this world. And we thank you, Father, that he is defeated. And we thank you that your glory shall fill this earth. For you have spoken it and said it. And we thank you for it. Thank you for working through us. Thank you for shining through us. Thank you for operating through us. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.